Hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. This is Lisa Anderson. Happy December to you. We are also just about halfway through our end of year giving campaign that's specific to Boundless this year. Finally, yay. Thanks to two fabulous donors who love Boundless, we have $25,000 to match within the Boundless family. So some of y'all have already done that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Very exciting. We will be giving an official report at the end of the campaign as to how much total we have raised. So we're looking forward to that. But if Boundless has ever helped you, now is your time to give. If you haven't done that yet, hop over to boundless.org/donate and you can give today. And that gift will actually be matched dollar for dollar through December 31st. Okay, here we are. On to the show. Later on for our inbox, we're going to have our own Joshua Rogers here to answer a question from a guy about being on the prowl. Or at least that is his reputation, bless his heart. So Joshua will give his, I'm sure, no holds barred advice on that one. Then for our culture segment, we're very excited to have our friend Jefferson Bethke back. You know him, of course, from Jesus is Greater Than Religion, all his spoken word stuff. But he now has a book called It's Not What You Think. And so we're going to talk about that. He lives in Hawaii, and so I will give him a hard time about that as well, as you know I would. But here we are for our roundtable. Very excited to have Deanna, JB, and Aaron here. Hey, guys.
Hey there.
Very fun to have you. Okay, not that this is going to be a big wah-wah, but we thought we would have a fun little discussion about relationship fears, including just straight up fears of being in a relationship, getting into a relationship, getting back into a relationship, anything related to relationships. Because, you know, whenever we head into a new year here at Boundless, I'm always eager to discuss topics that involve just the stops, starts, and restarts and kind of reframing where we're going in a new year. And so this is a great opportunity for us to grow. I know I have my own stories related to this. So this is going to be fun. So let's go ahead and just open it up and just start out by talking about really, like, your just general thoughts around this topic. The whole, I mean, is this something that you have talked about, whether, you know, to yourself or, you know, to friends or to family? Because, you know, this is now, we're in the holiday season where you can't go to a party without some grandma or aunt being like, so how come you haven't been, you know, aren't you going to get back up on the horse and what's going to happen here? And, you know, and you're just kind of like, seriously. So where would you guys say generally you feel like temperature-wise about the whole relationship world and your part in it?
Well, I would say the older you get, the worse it becomes. Mm-hmm. I'm in my 30s, and you're right. Every time you go to anything, it's always, okay, let me see your left hand. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, what's his name? Are you dating somebody? Why not? What's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Or the classic, you know, don't worry, when God fixes you, then you can get married. Mm-hmm. Like, single people are somehow broken.
Yeah.
But I think that the older you get, dating becomes or has become less exciting to me.
Yeah.
Because it's more of like a chore. And it's not.
And meeting everyone's expectations. And right. Just kind of like, they're like, you don't have any time left, so just do it.
Right. Yep. Exactly. And then you need to speed this along. And then, you know, and then it's like, how much time do I take? Like, I'm running out of time. Like, what does that look like? And mm-hmm. like, you almost don't even want to do it because it's so just agonizing to go.
Yeah, good point.
I feel like my troubles with dating come from a lack of experience in a lot of respects. When I was younger, I kind of grew up in a very anti-dating culture, and it basically condensed relationships down into what one would consider a formula. And when I was a teenager and I saw a lot of my peers trying to test the waters of relationships and everything, you know, I was looking at all that and I thought, really? You know, why are they trying to do this so young? And, you know, there was a lot of truth in that, but at the same time, because I had the formula with me, I put my trust too much in that, and I was watching, you know, those relationships crash and burn, and it was really easy to feel smug about it, you know, and look at that going, mm-hmm, yep, I knew that was going to happen, you know, and kind of be a bit of a jerk on the inside about it. And as time went on, you know, I kind of applied that same mindset in college and beyond, where I was like, you know, I'm too busy for a relationship. I want to focus on my education or my career, or, you know, this or that. And eventually that kind of became a part of my identity. You know, I would try to focus on just bettering myself and everything and trying to be, you know, perfected for a relationship and not really just put myself out there and be like, you know, I'm imperfect and that's okay. Mm. And I really need to, you know, actually do get some, you know, experience being with someone of the opposite sex and, you know, emotionally opening myself up like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, for me, I'm just maybe a little bit different from the other two, is that I don't feel a lot of pressure from family and friends. And I'm so thankful for that. Like, my parents aren't putting pressure on me, even though they know that it's a desire of my heart and they desire that for me as well. Thankfully, they don't make a lot of hurtful comments about it, which I'm so thankful for. And it can be hard, for sure. You know, I have four younger siblings and they're all married and they all have kids now. And so, of course, in the back of my mind, it's always there. I'm the only one that's still single. And so I can place a lot of pressure on myself. Mm-hmm. And it's not always pressure that they put on me, because they love me and they want that for me and they pray for me and they pray for, you know, me to find a husband someday. And I'm so appreciative of that. Of course, there are people who make comments that are hurtful. A family member I can think of specifically that sometimes makes comments. But again, I recognize that it's from a place of, she knows that it's something that I desire. And so even if it's a hurtful comment, I can step back and say, this is coming from a place where she knows it's a desire and it's not meant to be hurtful.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys feel like, because I feel like there have been seasons where I've dated a lot and then I kind of go through like a season of, okay, now mm-hmm. I haven't dated for like a year or two or mm-hmm. whatever, other than some random setups and everything. And it feels like every time I go through one of those longer seasons, that kind of like getting back into it's a little harder, where mm-hmm. I feel like I either have higher ideals or more just exhaustion. This totally happened with me with online dating, where I did it for 18 months straight and like several sites, and then I was like, needed a serious recovery period. Because I was just exhausted from like IMing people and getting to know people and then having things not work out, like people you thought mm-hmm. they were something and they mm-hmm. weren't. And I'm just like, the thought of even going into it again is so mm-hmm. exhausting. Because now, I mean, at this, and I'm telling people, I mean, here I am telling hundreds of thousands of people every week, you know, just go for it, just do it. And then here I am, I feel a little bit disingenuous, because I'm like, but I'm too exhausted to try. I'm too another failure or another. Do you guys ever feel like that? Or
yeah, and I think when you get to a point where it's just like failure after failure after failure, then it's like, okay, maybe I need a break from this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think you're right, when you get kind of back on the horse and you try to do it again, then you try to have like these higher expectations, or you try to, you know, do something with yourself, or, you know, mm-hmm. be a little different so that it doesn't turn into this failure. But then mm-hmm. there you go again, and it just turns into the cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I feel like I'm kind of a failure in a lot of respects in this regard, just because I've never even been in a relationship.
Yeah, you've said that to me, Jimmy.
Yes, yeah. I've actually never been in a relationship in my life, and it's not exactly very helpful, you know, as you get older, like Deanna said, and the ante just seems to get up and up more and more.
Yeah.
And it kind of affects, in a lot of respects, I feel like that's kind of a way that the enemy attacks us, you know, by focusing on our identity like that. You know, mm-hmm. I grew up and I was always that dorky kid with the huge glasses as a kid. And then as I grew older, you know, I became that guy who was involved with anything and everything and never really was committing to a relationship and all that. Mm-hmm. So now that I am starting to really sink my teeth into a city that I feel like I'm going to stay in and everything, I'm like, okay, you know, now I feel more free to get out and date, but where do you start?
Yeah.
So right now, you know, I'm trying to get out of overcome sort of the perception that I feel like has been foisted upon me. And it's easy to own up to that just because that's what other people see, which is I'm that adorable little brother type who's a great friend.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not very helpful for a relationship. And that's something that I've been trying to work on, you know, understanding, you know, what is it that I do that may contribute to a relationship not really starting, and identifying those problems.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I think, you know, as time goes on, especially as you're in like the same city and you develop certain friend groups, it's easy for you mm-hmm. to develop some kind of like stereotype where all mm-hmm. of a sudden you are, oh, he's just the sweetest guy, or he'll come over and help you with whatever, or you're the best friend mm-hmm. person, or you're the running buddy, or you're the whatever. You become, you know, this little caricature of the person. But one thing I want to circle back just really quick, JB, with you is, I remember Steve Waters one time told me, you know, and Steve was one of the founders of Boundless, he had this theory about guys and just many of the single guys that he knew, and that was guys who are younger are much more like risk averse. They're all about risk. They'll just jump in. They'll ask anyone out because they've got their whole life in front of them, and they're like, well, I don't know. I'll just give it a shot and what on to the next one if she says no or whatever. And as guys get older, it's more about managing risk and what are they going to have to give up, whether it's their reputation or their resources or whatever, and they've kind of built their little life, and now it's kind of hard to break out of what they know and what's safe. Have you found that to be the case?
I feel like it's actually kind of been the opposite for me, and I'm kind of opposite in a lot of ways compared to most people, which is one of the problems that I have with identifying with, you know, a lot of the dating pitfalls that a lot of people have or the dating strengths that a lot of people have. And for me, when I was younger, I grew up in what some might consider a very risk-averse home, and there was definitely a lot of good things about that. But one of the bad things, I think, was that there was always kind of this, you know, if something wrong could happen, don't do it sort of mindset that I developed. Mm. So I became very hesitant to do anything, including being in a relationship, because, you know, my biggest fear was not necessarily that it wouldn't work out, but that I would ruin a friendship with someone if I even got into a relationship.
Yeah.
And as I've gotten older, I've actually been more and more encouraged by my peers and by other adults and everything to be more willing to take risks. So it's been nice to actually get that encouragement and be like, you know, don't be afraid to go out and do things that you're unfamiliar with or get to know people that you may not have otherwise gotten to know. And and that's been really encouraging. So I feel like a paradigm shift is beginning to happen, but it's a long process.
So actually, and I want everyone to weigh in on this, circling back to something else that JB alluded to, this idea of having to be something or be relationship ready to actually get into a relationship rather than just being like, okay, here are my faults, here's what I'm struggling with, we're just two imperfect people that are going to start dating. Do you guys feel like you set yourself up for failure or for paralysis by feeling like you have to have arrived or you need to only date someone that's at a certain level of maturity or has their act together or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of that comes back to the older we get, the more mature we get, the longer we go without a relationship. It's like, okay, what can I do in this time when I'm not dating to maybe prepare myself? And I think part of that preparation is, for lack of a better term, becoming the best person that you can. So focusing on your relationship with the Lord and
which I should be pretty much perfect by
right,
now.
Exactly.
If I'm following that model, I mean, let's be honest, people. Pretty much what how much more counseling can I do?
Exactly.
Deanna?
Right. That's exactly how I felt like. Okay. I'm
you can't get
as
any
educated
more degrees,
as I can
Deanna,
be.
Honestly. You need to just stop. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but so then because of that, then you feel like, okay, well now I'm ready. But then that sin piece comes in, you're like, but I'm not perfect. And that's okay, but there's some fear associated with that. Like, I should be this amazing person. I should be my best self right now. And then if a relationship comes along and you realize, okay, there is still sin in me. There is still selfishness in me. There is still some things that I need to work on. I think you're right. We can set ourselves up for failure because we've put that pressure on ourselves and we feel like we should be ready because we've had so much time without a relationship focusing on ourselves.
Yeah. Or you feel like, okay, I am ready, or I have worked on myself, or I am whatever I would assume is the best version of myself, and I'm pretty mature, and still no one wants me. And then that's like a fearful thing.
Well, and I found someone a guy that has everything together and has a stable job and has, you know, he's paid off his student loans and he has everything in his life together. And then he says, I'm not ready. He's not ready. Mm. So then it's like, okay, well,
what else do you need?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's ever a point where you're, you know, I have X amount in my savings account and I'm this old and, you know, there's not ever a point where you're going to be totally ready to get married. And at some point you just have to jump into it.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, and I don't want to speak for all the females, but I do feel like it is a female characteristic or a female trait to think that we're just not quite good enough. Like, even though I love who I am and I can be confident most of the time in who I am, when that person comes along who then, you know, you really try and be vulnerable and show your true self and not hide and not play games, there's always that voice in the back of your head is like, well, but what if I'm not good enough? What if he still doesn't like what I have to offer? And I can recognize that that is not truth, that that is not how God feels about me, and that that is the lies that I tend to believe, but it still is there, and I just have to really work at mm-hmm. at not believing those things.
Well, what about the fears of like what could or could not happen? Mm-hmm. Because I think, first of all, there's a lot of people who grew up in broken homes. We mm-hmm. see a lot of divorce. I mean, there are people yep. that have gotten divorced that I know that I'm like, you are the last people I would have ever thought would get divorced. Yep. And so I'm mm-hmm. like, if you can't even keep your marriage together, people, what hope is there for me? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we see people that look, you know, that they have happy marriages and you're like, how did these people get a happy marriage? Like, could I even have that? You know, and it becomes a comparison game and just the expectations that you have and fear of, or you've been in a relationship and it didn't work out and you're mm-hmm. like, I thought for sure that was going to work out and that didn't work out. So yeah. what am I going to be blindsided by next? Right. What are some of the fears swirling around you guys with that?
Well, I think as being a counselor, you know, as a counselor, people don't come to you when their life is all together and their marriage mm-hmm. is perfect. So all you hear about is failing marriages.
Yeah.
And there are always people that you never, you know, like a pastor and his wife mm. and the pastor's having an affair, or, you know, people that you thought that would never happen to, and they had it all together and they're surrounded by, you know, supportive Christians and, you know, they have all the resources, but it still failed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you kind of keep that in the back of your mind of, you know, you mm-hmm. have to sort of constantly work at your relationship, and if you ever get married, then your marriage, to kind of keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's weird, because I remember I dated a guy who in the relationship seemed like all in, like super committed, but then when we hit a bump in the road and we had some very real like communication issues and stuff, it was like I thought I was ready to just be like, okay, well, I think we need to work through these, and he's like, mm-hmm. no I don't think it's gonna work out. And I was just so surprised, like, how quickly he bailed, you know? And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my word. Like, what if that had gone to engagement or marriage? And all of a sudden he's like, no.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good fit. Whoa. I never would have seen that on the front end. So then you just kind of are like, how do I know? How do I really know? You know?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, the thing is, you only have to get it right once. But it's just like that one time that.
Yeah. Yeah. But you don't want it to be like a combo and a lock.
Exactly.
Like, you feel like it has to be the exact four numbers or. You know, it's just, it's nutty. So, okay.
I think that's my biggest struggle, is that I tend to be focused too much on getting it right with respect to finding the right person.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever someone really cool does come along and a relationship doesn't work out, you know, there's been a lot of people who have come into my life, very well-meaning people who have said, oh, but just about imagine how much better the real thing is going to be one day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some truth in that, mm-hmm. but I think when we filter that through our own human, you know, bias and everything, and that's not necessarily very objective, you know, I start thinking, oh, well, that means that the real thing is going to be X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
So I start looking for X, Y, and Z, and that may not necessarily be what God has in mind. And I always kind of have this fear that the real thing may not have that, you know, mm-hmm. so it's hard to give those things up.
Yeah. Okay, so what do we have? We have like about a month before we head into a new year. What are we going to do differently? So I'm going to start out by recommending, let's just get through the holidays, people. No one needs to be watching Love Actually, When Harry Met Sally, none of these holiday movies.
The holiday,
where their whole love life is going to change because they swapped, you know, homes with someone, or they went to Prague, or, you know, whatever. Yeah, no, that's not real. So what are the real boots on the ground things we're going to do differently? As we move ahead, or think differently, even can start in our heads.
I was hoping you were going to tell us, Lisa.
Oh, well, you know, maybe I will at the end. We'll see if I have any strategies.
I think for me, it's not just this time of year necessarily. This is kind of something that I think about on an ongoing basis, and that's, you mentioned it earlier, those seasons where you know, maybe you have a couple dates, you know, right in a row or something, and then you go through a dry season where there's nothing, and so it's in those dry seasons, at least for me, where I start to think, okay, what can I do to get myself out of this? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like as a female, there are only certain things I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, one of those things is, okay, what situations can I put myself in that will allow me to meet new people?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's, you know, serving at a new place or saying yes to an event that I might not otherwise say yes to just because I don't, you know, mm-hmm. know tons of people,
mm-hmm.
Serving in a new place at my church, you know, whatever that is, I often take a look at, okay, I get myself in this rut of hanging out with the same people, doing the same things all the time. I don't meet anybody new. So what are those things, those activities, those ways I can serve that will introduce me to maybe some new people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Pretty much what she said. I really need to get out a little bit more and be willing to do things that I'm uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. And meet people that I would probably otherwise not really be interested in hanging out with. Mm-hmm. Just because I tend to be one of those people who zeroes in on people that I really, really want to spend time with. Like, mm-hmm. if I see somebody and I'm like, that group of people is awesome, mm-hmm. then I'm going to be doggedly determined to do whatever it takes, and some of my own friends can testify to this, I'm going to be doggedly determined to do whatever it takes to make sure that I get grafted into that group, or I, you know, I'm one of them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, there may be thousands and thousands of possibilities out here that I'm not even seeing because I'm so focused in with tunnel vision on this thing. Mm-hmm. So I need to really work on, you know, expanding my horizons, if you will, and just, mm-hmm. you know, getting out a little bit more outside my comfortable bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just reminded of Pursuit last summer where Joshua Rogers, just near the end of the conference, was like, guys, I just challenge you to like, turn around, go to a table, mm-hmm. whatever, just ask one girl to do coffee with you. And yeah. just that little prompting, that little kick in the pants that's like outside of your comfort zone, but it's something you can do. You're in a room full of people that you've spent a weekend with. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little jarring, but it is kind of that not gravitating toward the same like, mm-hmm. oh, well, these people are so awesome, so I'm yeah. just going to be comfortable with them. But no, good point.
Yeah, it's that risk thing. Just take a risk.
Yeah. Okay, well, guys, these are great thoughts. Good start for all of you. Of course, those of you listening, if you have thoughts swirling in your brain, hop over to the blog and weigh in. Let us know, what are your relationship fears and what are you going to do to overcome them? What does that look like for you heading into a new year and with new, hopefully, prospects and possibilities? So we can all encourage one another in this. So thanks, y'all, for weighing
thanks,
in on
Lisa.
This.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.